And I'd like everybody to start out by turning to Luke 4, 18 and 19. I want to give you a scriptural basis for what we're talking about. Luke 4, 18, 19. I'll give you a minute to find it. Luke 4, 18 and 19. I'm going to read from the New International Version, but you follow through with whatever version you have because different translations of God's Word have slightly different words for it, but they all mean basically the same thing. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, these were the words that Jesus Christ read from the prophet Isaiah in the temple at the very beginning of his ministry. These are the words that he said, "This is my ministry. I am here to do that. I am here to set the prisoners free." In King James, it says brokenhearted. That's another word. We're not talking about prisoners in jail. We're talking about people that are bound up, people that need to be set free. And this is what Jesus Christ said his ministry was. Praise the Lord. Could you go ahead and put the overhead on? I'm going to give you a little definition of what we're going to talk about tonight. And since I didn't put it on your outline, I'm going to put it up on the overhead here. And I want you to follow through because it's a little bit complicated. You may even want to write it down, so we'll leave it up there for a few minutes. A person who has unforgiven sins in their life. Remember last week we talked about people that had unforgiven sins, that had ought against other people, and even myself and other people that were not able to get free from those things, which may or may not reside in conscious memory. You may have not even know what these sins are. They may be long forgotten in your mind. And then allows these sins to accumulate, they become what the Bible calls brokenhearted and oppressed. That's where we get the words brokenhearted and oppressed, because of things that have happened in our past lives. The power of these sins will usually cause undesired behavior patterns and keep the individual from living a victorious and productive Christian life. We all want to move in the gifts, brothers and sisters, but sometimes there's reasons why we can't. There's reasons why we can't do the things we want to do. And that is because of the power of our past life. But I have good news for you tonight. Jesus Christ is here to release us from the power of everything that has happened in the past. He doesn't want us to live in the past. He wants us to live in all that He has for us. The process of healing that we're talking about involves forgiveness and then cleansing from the results of these sins. True and lasting results requires dealing with root causes and not putting band-aids on the problem. I've had a lot of people come to me for counseling before I did teaching and before I functioned as a pastor for a cell church. I did counseling for a number of years, and I've had people come to me. In the first few years I was a counselor, I tend to put band-aids and I tend to deal with the problems that people brought to me. But then I started praying about it and I realized that this wasn't going to work. And I tell people then when they came in, I'd say, "Hey, you know, I'm not going to give you band-aids for your problem. If you want to come to me and you want to get serious and you want to dig in and you want to get really at the root causes of the problem, then I can help you. But if you just want band-aids, I'm not your kind of counselor." And I got very tired of doing that, so I got away from doing this. After the healing that we're talking about tonight, your lifestyle will require rebuilding and molding in His ways to keep your healing. We're not talking just about coming up and getting prayed for and getting a touch from God. Because when God does the healing, then He expects you to move into everything that He has for you in His Word. And you need to know that that's going to involve changing your lifestyle. Because now you will be able to change your lifestyle. Before, you were bound by things. But now, you have the healing He has for you. And you can do the things that it tells you to do in the Scripture. You'll be able to forgive the individuals that you have ought against. You'll be able to go through each day and joyfully look forward to saying, "I'm not going to go to bed having something against another person. And you'll have the power to be able to do it when you didn't before. And I'll tell you what, your Christian life is going to change. And you think that you're moving in the gifts now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Believe me, I know, because I've been through it. It's really neat what God has for us. I'm still on the introduction, so just bear with me. I hope we're not going to be here too late tonight, but anyway, we'll get through it. Why should we begin this process? You know, I was listening to the words of the song, one of the songs we sung tonight, and the words that I wrote down were, God, how we long to be near to you. God, how we long to be near to you. I don't think there's anybody in this room that would not acknowledge that we can be near to God. We can feel near to Him. We can feel more of His presence than what we are right now. There's always room for more. We want to be just like an earthly father to our Father God. And so we want to be near to Him. We sung it in the song. Now, there's a funny thing about this. When we sing something like this in a song, when we say, God, I want to be near to you, guess what He's going to do? He's going to say, okay, folks, I'll take that person at His word. He wants to be near to me. Well, we'll fix him right up. And guess what? That's when the work begins. I remember about 3 months after I became a Christian, I sung a song just like that. And the song was, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. And that was in a typical evangelical church. But the Lord, figured I meant it, because I did mean it in my heart. But I really didn't realize when I first sung that song what was going to happen over the next 20-some-odd years. I'm glad it happened now, but if I would have realized all the work it was going to take when I sung that song, I might have thought a little bit longer about singing the words to the song, because God will take us at our word. If we say we want to be near to Him, He will come in and He will perform it. Now, we can say no, we can turn our back on God, but I'll tell you what, I've turned my back on God a few times, and that only causes us a lot more pain and heartache and hurt. You can't turn your back on God without having consequences. And those consequences are feeling miserable, which is another reason why you may want to consider what we're going to talk about tonight. If you have ever felt miserable in your life, if you've ever been defeated, most of us have. You know, do you want to be defeated? Do you want to feel miserable? I don't think so. Most of us don't want to. Why don't you go ahead and turn off the overhead now? I think everybody has seen it for a while. And that's another reason for doing this. Another reason is you want to be a victorious and overcoming Christian, but like I was telling you several weeks ago, you're unable to do all of the things that God wants you to do. How do you do it? Where do you go? I was in church year after year after year, and they couldn't tell me what to do next. And that's a sad story. I want to also say that what I'm going to talk about tonight is for everyone. Now, you may think that you've got it pretty well put together. I have met some individuals that have grown up in the church. They've been godly men and women. And, you know, for all practical purposes, it looked like that they had it made. They were living a good life. They were happy. And I got to know these individuals. And I got to know them in a couple of cases very, very intimately, very, very closely. And guess what I started to find out? I started to find out that there were little things and there were little ways where they didn't have it made like they thought they had it made. That they were actually limited in what they could do. So what I'm telling you tonight is what we're talking about is for everyone. There is nobody that's exempt. I have yet to meet, and I will say I have yet to meet, because it's possible, you know, that I may meet some individual out there that doesn't need this type of healing in their life, but I have yet to meet that individual. Now, I have been friends with a man up in Idaho that has done this type of ministry for, what, some 40-odd years. And he would be the first to tell me, he says, Paul, I go through this every day in my life. He told me, he says, you know, I was sitting in church one day, and he said, you know, I thought I had pretty much of all of this work done, you know, and I thought everything was, taken care of. And then the Lord says, what about that thought that just went through your mind? What about the way you talked to that individual yesterday, you know, in the store? And he says, oh, okay, Lord, I guess I've got to do some more work. So you see, what I'm telling you about tonight is something that is a lifelong process. But I'll tell you, after getting to a certain point a few years ago, I come to enjoy it. It can be very, very enjoying because you know how it works. You know how to walk through this process of healing. And you know with a certainty that it's going to result in all of those things in your life not having control over you anymore. You'll live above them. So once you get rid of the big things, then you can easily deal with the everyday things in your life. And you'll know that you don't want to let days go by with things building up in your life. Because you can get right back to where you was before if you spend 4 or 5 years after you get your healing, allowing things to build up. And we don't want to do that. But once you know the process, then you can move forward in it. I'm going to talk a little bit about my healing journey. Don't get worried. I'm not going to give it all. We'd probably be here till midnight. So I'm not going to give the whole thing. I'm just going to give some isolated incidents so that you can kind of get an idea of a few things that happened to me. I first became aware of these types of concepts for healing emotional damage in 1972. And I was a Christian. I'd been a Christian for about 3.5 years at the time. And I was a real excited Christian. I was real on fire for the Lord. I was studying the Bible, and I would spend hours reading the Bible every day. But, you know, I had some problems. I had some difficulties, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I read the Bible. I'm the type of individual, when I make a decision for something, I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to do it. And I read the Bible, and I read it, and I read it, and I studied it, and I meditated on it. And I read in Acts, and I read in Corinthians and Ephesians and all of the other epistles, and I'd read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I would see something in this book that, you know, was supposed to be God's Word, and I looked at the church, and I looked at the Bible, and I said, they go two different directions. What's going on here, God? I mean, there's something kind of funny. And you realize this was back in 1972, and there was a lot of things that weren't, you know, available in the church then. And I said, God, it says that we're supposed to have healing. It says that we're supposed to have forgiveness. It says that we're supposed to be able to love each other. And God, what is the problem? You know, where is it? Why is the church not, you know, moving in this direction? And I started to question. I started to wonder, and I started to turn around what was going on. Well, I was introduced to this concept. I was managing a Christian recording studio, and a man came in on Monday morning, and he says, Paul, I need you to make 10 or 15 tapes. Well, I didn't want to make 10 or 15 tapes for this guy because we was used to making hundreds of tapes. And so making 10 or 15 tapes for this guy was kind of like a thorn in the flesh, you know. It took my time, and, you know, I was busy, and, you know, I didn't want to do it. So I made the tapes for him just to get him out. And he said when he was leaving, he says, Paul, you really need to come to these meetings over on the other side of town. And I says, oh, yeah, you know, good idea, all that. But I had no intention of going to the meetings. He says, here's a piece of paper. I'll write down the information and all this. So guess what? He came back on Tuesday morning. Another 10 or 15 tapes to make. He says, oh, Lord, deliver me from this. He said the same thing. Paul, you really need to come to these meetings. And I said, well, okay, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it, you know. Well, I had no intention of thinking about it or praying about it. So guess what happened? The Lord can be very, very persistent. So this gentleman came back on Wednesday with another 10 or 15 tapes to make from these meetings. And I looked at him when he was leaving and I said, you know, I kind of get the impression that if I don't go to these meetings, I'm going to see you the rest of the week. And he looked at me and says, yep, you got it. And I went to the meeting, and I just sat there. I mean, I was in shock. The name of the person, maybe some of you know him, was Harold Dewberry from Australia. And he came over here, and he introduced the principles of, he called it at the time, inner healing, healing emotional damage. emotional damage or several names that goes by, but I was in shock. I said, this finally makes sense. You know, and I just sat there, just literally in shock. And I went back the next night. I didn't have to be persuaded to go the next night because things started to fall into place. And then I went back the next night after that. And then I arranged to spend Saturday showing him around town because he was new into town and he wanted to see Phoenix. And so I spent the day on Saturday just, you know, fellowshipping with Harold and talking to him. Well, that was the beginning of a very long journey for me. And it took place over about the next 15 or 18 years. Now, don't get excited. I'm not telling you that you're going to have to spend the next 15 or 18 years doing what I started to do that night. The reason it took me 15 or 18 years, I'm going to explain that a little bit, was because in this whole process, the church didn't know what to do with me. They had a Billy Graham out there saying, hey, this is this emotional healing man you need. If you need to do this, that, and the other thing. But I knew the principles of what was being taught, but I didn't really know how to do it, know how to put it into effect in my life. And so it took me a lot of time going and talking to a lot of other people. I went all across the country because I knew there was something here that I needed to put in my life. I spent a summer in Tulsa. I went up to Idaho for a summer. I went all over. I talked to anybody that I knew that could give me more information and that could minister to me about these concepts. But the church here locally, you know, they really didn't know what to do. They didn't know anything about this type of healing. They didn't know how to minister it to anybody else. And so it took me a long time. And then there was another little problem. Because I had studied God's Word a whole lot and got a lot in me in God's Word, I kind of got mad at God. Because I said, God, you know, I got these concepts of what we're supposed to be in you, and you've given me a lot of stuff about emotional healing, but I still can't move into it. I'm still in an impasse. And I said, God, and this was a lie that I was believing. I said, God, you're supposed to be in charge of this whole universe, right? It says it in your word. You are God, okay? And if you're God, then how come you just can't come down and help Paul Stanton move into these things that he's supposed to be able to move into it? And I got mad at God. I said, you do it. I'm not even going to talk this Christian thing to anybody if you don't do it. That also slowed the process down. Took a little longer, you know? When you're mad at somebody, they can't work the same way in your life. Now, there were a lot of things in my life that God had to deal with. I told you about a few of them a couple weeks ago. I told you how that my mother rejected me when I was born. I even told you how she tried to abort me when she was carrying me. And I'll tell you what, I didn't know about these things until about 12 years after I started this healing journey. Because guess what? If I didn't have conscious memory of them, how could I possibly know it? How could I possibly know what the root causes were? So I had to wander around out there in the Christian world, everywhere, left, right, going to church after church, going all across the country. I had to wander around until I started to come across some people that had actually spent enough time with the Lord that they could move in some of the gifts called the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discernment. And they could allow God to, using their mouths and their lips, come up with these kind of things. I remember very clearly I was in a counseling session and this couple was counseling me, and they brought out these, you know, two things that I just mentioned to you. And we talked a little bit, and the man had a puzzled frown on his face, and he told his wife, he says, you go in the other room and figure out what I was telling you to figure out. Well, I didn't know what they were talking about, you know. And before she went in the other room, she says, what day were you born? And I said, July the 11th. Okay. And she went in the other room and she came back a little bit later. And, you know, if you're born July 11th, normally your mother carries you for about 9 months. And they figured that back, and they found out that I was actually conceived around about Halloween. Then the Lord brought out, by a word of knowledge, that I was conceived in a drunken orgy on Halloween evening. And the reason that my father rejected me, because he wasn't even sure that he was the father. That adds another element to the whole thing. Now, God didn't choose to heal me for another year after that. The reason I'm telling you these kind of things is this type of healing, this type of work, you have to do it God's way. You know, God knows the best way to do this healing work. He knows the best timing. Now, I feel confident that I and many other people, the other pastors in this room, would be able to minister that type of healing much sooner. But you see, because I had so much against me, God let me pray in the Spirit daily, because during the next year I was laid off and I had a lot of time on my hands. And so practically every day I spent several hours praying in the Spirit. What did this praying in the Spirit do? It laid the groundwork for the healing to come forward. Because God had to minister to my spirit for a long, long time before that healing could come out. He knew that. I didn't know it. I was there kind of impatient. Okay, Lord, let's get on with it, you know. Plan, Lord, okay, I'll go to this guy. He has this kind of gift and he can do this ministry, you know. And why didn't it happen? Because God had to do the work in me. Now, God did a lot of work over this about 15, 18 year period of time. And I'm not going to go into any more of it, except for one thing. I'm going to tell you the last major thing that he did. And that happened about 6 or 7 years ago. I thought I was doing pretty good at the time. And I thought that I had dealt with a lot of things in my life. And I had. And I was doing pretty good. Got a call on the phone. Ring this counselor from out of town. Called me up. Says, Paul, I think you need to get a hold of this book. And I think it would really bless your ministry. And I said, well, okay, you know. And then I wrote the name of the book down. And, you know, if I read every book everybody told me that I thought I should read, Pastor Dimmer was just telling me about it on the phone the other day. I mean, we'd have to take 14, 15 hours a day just listening to books and listening to tapes. And so I just kind of, I wrote the name of the book down and I just put it in a big stack of stuff on my desk and tried to forget it. Well, next night I was praying after work and the Lord says, I want you to get that book now. And he said it just that imperatively. Okay. Now you got to understand, he didn't speak in an audible voice, but the impression on my spirit was so strong that I knew I had to do it. I mean, it was, you know, just like one of you was telling me to get the book. And the Lord says, the book is for you, Paul. And I said, oh. Now, the title of the book, would you like to know the title of the book? Does anybody want to know the title of the book? You do? Well, are you sure you want to know the title of the book? Well, the title of the book was Christian Men Who Hate Women. I got the same reaction when I started calling Christian bookstores. I said, I'd like to know if you have this book in stock. You have the book, Christian Men Who Hate Women. And they say, ooh, that's a nasty sounding book, you know. I had to call about 15 Christian bookstores before I could even find some place that had it. And what I found, though, that because of all the situations in my life, having a natural mother that completely rejected me, that set the stage for me hating other women. It also set the stage for making it very difficult for me to have good and proper relationships with women. Now, as I was reading this book, the Lord also told me, says, okay, Paul, one other thing we got to talk about, because you hate men too. Oh. Well, That's not too surprising, since I was sexually molested when I was 5 years old by a, you know, gang of neighborhood kids. And since my natural father rejected me also, that's not surprising. So I had to work those things through. And I had to go to two different counselors to work those things through. Now, that's an important thing to realize. Why would I have to do that? Well, the individual that worked through the problem of hating women with me could not work through the problem of hating men with me because she hated men. Okay, and she hadn't dealt with it. So she was able to deal with half of the problem, but not the rest of the half. But God showed me exactly who in the church to go to and have them pray through the other half of the problem. He led me step by step of the way. He showed me exactly. You go to this person and they'll deal with this thing. And guess what? When I started dealing with, you know, the issue of hating women, man, that unleashed some big stuff. We spent 2 days, about 4 or 5 hours, dealing with all the stuff that surrounded that. But it's neat because of the cleanness that I felt when I went through this kind of thing. Now, I really believe that this type of healing is something that I am going to be doing on a continuing basis. Because whenever I find that I'm having a problem, even a small problem, with my Christian walk, I say, okay, God, you know, show me exactly what you want me to deal with. But now I don't have to go to this person or that person to get them to pray through it with me. Because I have went through the major things in my life, I can do these kind of simple things by myself as long as I keep, you know, a short account of them on a daily basis. And that's what's important to realize. There come a point in time when you can do these things yourself. Now, what's this going to cost you? Because everybody wants to know, what's it going to cost me, right? You know, you ask that when you go in the store. What's it going to cost me, right? Because it is going to cost you something. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to decide to do this God's way and in God's time. I gave you an outline. We're not going to even get to it yet. We're going to get there in a couple minutes. But I'll tell you what, God has His way of doing this type of healing. And it's not by my wisdom or anybody else's wisdom. It's His wisdom and His direction. Now, part of the reason why it took me so long was I thought I had some pretty good ideas about how things should proceed on my own. But guess what? It wasn't work. And so, you see, I had to learn to do them God's way and in God's time. That's part of what these kinds of things will cost us. If we want to live in everything that God has for us, we will have to let Him direct our lives and do it His way and in His time. The Bible says that God's wisdom from above is not our wisdom. No, we don't have the kind of stuff that He is talking about. He knows the best way to do it. Another thing it's going to cost you, it's probably going to be a little bit time consuming. Now, it's probably not going to take you years and years like it took me, because the church nowadays, there's enough people that knows what's going on that they can guide and direct you in this journey. But I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't take you anywhere from 6 to 9 months. And if you're a little bit stubborn like I was, it might take you a year or two. But I'll tell you what, it's worth going through this type of healing. It's worth giving up your own ideas, your own ways, your own thoughts, to get the kind of healing. Because I can stand up here now in front of you, and I can tell you, you know, what I have, because I went through the process. You know, I knew in 1972 that there was going to come a time when I would be standing in front of God's people giving these principles. I knew that. I knew in 1972 it was prophetically spoken. I knew it in my heart. But I didn't know how to get there. But I'll tell you what, it's a joy right now to be able to tell you that I know that each and every one of you in this room, you make the decision and you can go through this type of healing, and it will so completely change your life that you won't be bound by all this garbage that you have been bound by in the past. And another thing that you're going to have to do, I said that it would take you considerable time. Well, you see, it's only part of the picture. It's only one side of the coin, brothers and sisters, to say that, well, God has this beautiful healing for you, and it is beautiful. But you know what happens then? Then you've got to take time to study God's Word, to learn to His way of living your life. You see, we have spent years and years and years learning the world's ways of doing things. And then we get healed. So what do we have to do? We have to study God's way. We have to get to know God in a close, personal way so we can know what His way is of leading our life. Because He knows the best way, and He knows the way that we can live our life when we won't feel miserable and when we won't get into the position that we got into. So we're going to have to continue to work out our healing, if we will, and continue to learn His way of doing things. Now I'm going to tell you a few things and a few hints about what doesn't work and what does work, and then we'll get into the outline. First off, at least initially, you're not going to be able to do this type of healing by yourself. It just doesn't work. You need to work with a Christian counselor, a Christian pastor, that has been through this type of healing himself or herself. Because you can't minister this type of healing just with words, just with principles. You have to minister it out of the healing that has come in your own life. You have to have lived it out. So you can't learn it as a principle. It's a matter of living it out in your life. You have to also make a quality decision to place yourself under the care and guidance of this pastor or Christian counselor. Now, this is where the tough part comes in. What does this mean? Well, I've got some words here on this piece of paper that you may really not want to hear. But they're words like obedience, submission, accountability. Some people call it the discipleship process. It's exactly what Jesus did with 12 men in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they made a decision to put themselves under His ministry and follow His guidance. And in order to get free, in order to walk through this process, that's what you're going to have to do. And you're going to have to make a decision to do it, whether you feel like it or not. Because I guarantee you, there's going to come some times when you're going to have to take what the person that is ministering to you has on faith. You're going to have to do what they say, whether you feel like it or not. So you have to, you know, work with somebody that you can trust. You can build a trust relationship with. You can build a loving relationship with that person that you. This is not something that can be ministered as a cold, hard, you just go do it type of thing, because it doesn't work. I tried doing it that way. I've seen others try to do it that way. I had other, counselors try to minister this type of healing to me that way, and it didn't work. This is something that comes out of a relationship, out of the life that you've lived, and you have to work it out with this type of person, with this type of individual. Now, the other thing that you're going to have to decide to throw away is some people come to me and, you know, they have the mentality that they've been victimized. They've been victimized by other people in the past. You know, guess what? You're going to have to throw that out the window. Because as long as you think you're a victim, you are a victim. And you can't get out of being a victim. You have to confess what Jesus Christ says you are. And Jesus Christ says you are redeemed. Now, does redeemed mean victim? I don't think so. No way, no how. So you've got to change your thinking and you've got to change your thought pattern. And these kind of things go hand in hand with the healing process. And the person that will guide you through this healing process is going to have to say, we're not going to let you say that. We're not going to let that come out of your mouth. You're going to confess what Jesus says you are. And so the healing process is twofold. It's not just a healing process of forgiveness and working through all of those things in the past, but it's a process of retraining your whole being, retraining your mind, if you will, retraining your flesh, if you will, to do things God's way, because the whole process is not going to be successful if you don't do it. Now, you'd be surprised how many people I have come to me, and, you know, they don't really want out of the problem that they're in. They like the attention they get. You know, they like having a problem that they can tell everybody. And guess what? That's going to keep you from the healing that God has for you. You have to turn your back on the problem and say, yeah, I've got a problem, but I know that the Holy Spirit working with this man or woman of God can bring this healing to me. But if you don't confess that and if you don't really believe that, you know, yeah, you've got the problem and you're going to hold on to it. And I find out when I'm doing counseling, when I'm praying with people as a pastor, I find out as quick as possible, you know, if these things are in their thinking. Because if they've got bad thinking, then I've got to go back even to a more basic thing and get them to agree to adjust their thinking before the healing process could even begin. That's one of the reasons why it took me so long to get my healing. Because I stubbornly held on to all of these wrong ideas, these wrong thoughts, and all of these things that were going through my mind year after year after year, because I thought they were the truth, you know. And it was the truth, I got a problem, and so why couldn't this other person see I got a problem? Why couldn't we talk about my problem for endless hours? And it kept me from getting healing for quite a few years also. And go through the steps and expect it to happen. Because this is a highly personal thing. That's why I use the term the personal healing ministry of Jesus Christ for emotional damage. Now, that's a lot of words. But that tells you that it's not something you can do following 10 different steps and getting the results you wanted. When I became a Christian, I was also an engineer. And I was trained to think logically. And I was trained to go from step 1 to step 2 to step 3 to step 4. All through the list. Well, God has his steps, and man got his steps, and they ain't the same. But I thought, you see, that I could make God do things by the steps that man came up with. And it didn't work, folks. And guess what? That delayed the process a few more years. I'm just sharing some of these things with you so that you'll, you know, have a way of knowing, you know, that these things can impede your progress, and having knowledge of them, then you can, you know, meditate on them, write them down, chew on them, and know what doesn't work. And then when you find yourself in that place, you see, you know, 15 years ago, I didn't know what would work and what wouldn't work, and neither did anybody else around, so I had to find out a lot of these things the hard way. And I had to try it 10 times wrong before I found one way right that would work. And that takes a lot of time to do. And the other thing, later on this evening, we're going to give you opportunities to come up and to start this process, to, you know, pray over you initially. But I'll tell you what, it takes a lot more than just having somebody pray with you. It's a personal ministry to walk through it, to work it out. Tonight is just the starting process. Know that it's going to take some study, some learning. It's going to take some time with a Christian counselor to find out what the root causes are. Most people come to me as a Christian counselor, as a pastor, and they just want a solution for the problem that they see on the surface, whatever it is. And I could give you long lists of problems, you know. I'm upset at, you know, this particular thing, or, you know, I'm having trouble keeping my, you know, temper in check, or this, that, or the other thing. And they just want a solution to the problem. Or they say, well, you know, I sure wish my wife or my husband, you know, would not do these things I don't like. And they just want a solution to the surface problem. And I say, well, you know, I've been doing this for 10, 15 years now, and, you know, it ain't going to work. You know, I'm not going to give you a Band-Aid. If you want to get really serious with God to dig down, to find out what the root causes are, yeah, then you can have a miracle in your life. And it is indeed a miracle to have that healing walk through in your life. It is indeed a miracle. And I speak from my own, you know, experience. I know the type of individual that I was, you know, 20 years ago, 22 years ago. And I'll tell you what, if I came in to this church and I was like I was then, most of you would probably want to sit on the other side of the room because you wouldn't want to be too near me. Because I was a very angry individual. I was an individual that wasn't very pleasant to be around. And so, you know, God did that healing miracle in my life. Okay, well, let's get out the outline now. I promised you I'd eventually get to the outline. And we're through with looking at, you know, what I went through in my life, because I do need to go through the outline and I need to give you these steps and then give you opportunities later on to do something about it. So everybody got an outline? Does anybody need one? Okay, it looks like everybody has one. The first thing we have to do to get victory is recognize that there is a problem. If we don't think we have a problem, then guess what? You know, we're stuck. Now, when I first started out as a Christian, I didn't think I had a problem. And I had other people that knew darn well I had a problem. And then finally, after a couple of years, when I admitted I had a problem, you know, and I'd go to the same individuals, they'd say, well, yeah, we realize, Paul, you got a problem. But what, you know, what do you do about the problem? They really didn't know. But first, you've got to realize that there is a problem. Okay, now I put after that, the source of which may be hidden. Because you may not know what the reason for that problem is. You may not know when it came into your life. You may not have conscious memory of it. I've worked with a number of people. One woman I worked with, 35 years old, she had no conscious memory of the last 4 months when she was in high school. She didn't remember going to graduation. She didn't remember going to the junior-senior prom. Now, most of us, when we're 35 years old, can remember those kind of things. But you see, her father picked her up and threw her across the room against a wall and beat her up so she was black and blue. And she went to her graduation, but she didn't go to the junior-senior prom because, you know, she didn't want anybody to see what she looked like because she couldn't disguise it. And so, you see, a Christian counselor has to work with you to reveal those hidden causes because we may not know, you know, what those hidden causes are. We may not know that our hatred that we have today, our anger that we have today, our erratic behavior that we have today actually started because something like that happened in our life. Now, guess what one part of the problem is? Well, one part of the problem is our own sin. And that's something we have to deal with. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago that one of my sins was I couldn't forgive other people. And I didn't know why. And it was tearing me up inside because I knew God said I was supposed to be able to do it, but yet I couldn't do it. And I'll tell you, it was one big struggle. And I mean, I was going through emotional agony for a number of years. Because I knew what it said in God's Word. There was no question in my mind. But yet I couldn't do it. Why couldn't I do it? So God had to start that healing process. Now there's another thing. And that's your reactions to the sins of others. Okay? Somebody says an unkind word to us. Have we sinned? No, not at that moment. However, what do most of us do in the natural when somebody says an unkind word to us? Do we get upset? Do we get angry? Do we sometimes yell at them? Yeah, probably. So that's another facet of the problem. Our reactions to the sins of others. We're not responsible for other sins, but we are responsible for our own reactions. Another thing that will need to be dealt with is generational sins. I could give you the scripture for that, you know, in the Old Testament, where it says that the sins of our fathers to several generations affect us today. So generational sins are something that are dealt with in this process. And lack of father's love. I have a whole sermon on the importance of father's love. Now I'm talking here about our earthly father. You see, our earthly father is our role model for our heavenly father. And if our earthly father has not taught us to love, then we're going to have a very big problem loving God as a heavenly father. That's a key element in the healing process to go through. I didn't know any of this, 15 years ago. And then, guess what? Most of us were not born Christians. Is there anybody here that thinks they was born a Christian? I don't get any hands so far. So guess what? Everybody here that I know of, myself included, has been influenced by all sorts of events in our lives. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of the things just happened. You know, I lived a lifestyle before I became a Christian that caused me a lot of troubles when I became a Christian. Because I thought this way of living was okay. You know, but as far as God was concerned, it was not okay. I learned a lot of bad things. And in order to change my lifestyle, I had to go back and go through a healing process to be able to start doing things God's way. Now, item number 2 on the outline, you have to realize that the healing will only happen when you take responsibility and do whatever is necessary in your life. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I mean whatever is necessary. Who determines that? God determines that. He's the one that knows what has to be done. And I'll tell you what, if you are even slightly like I was before I became a Christian, that whatever, well, there's an awful lot of things that need to be dealt with, and there's an awful lot of things that need to be healed. You know, I like Corey Ten Boom's definition of forgiveness. How do you know when you've forgiven somebody? Well, when you can bury their sin against you at the bottom of the deepest ocean and put up a no fishing sign. And one thing else, and you forget it and don't remember it anymore. God's word tells me that God forgets our sins when they are forgiven. That's how we know, you know, when what God is putting us through is successful, when we can forget that situation. Now, if my natural mother was sitting on the front row here, I could actually look her in the face and I could actually say, I love you. And I could go over and hug her and put my arms around her regardless of whether she accepted it or not. Have I forgiven her? I think so. I think that's part of what has to happen for that forgiveness. And so you have to take responsibility. I'd like to read another scripture, Philippians 3. Verse 13 and 14, you can turn to it if you like. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And I'm going to start out in the middle of that verse. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind. When we can truly forget what is behind, because we have forgiven the individuals, we have forgiven even God, we have come into that forgiveness for the situation. When we go through that healing process and go through that forgiveness, then, brothers and sisters, guess what? Those things have no hold on us anymore. And you see, God wants to make us a new man, new individuals. He wants to make us in His image. Now, how can we be in His image if we are controlled by anything that has happened in our past? Pretty difficult, I think. Pretty difficult. And so God wants to go through this healing process on anything that has happened in our past lives. One of the next parts of the process is item number 3. And I talked about this a little bit last week on Love Covers a Multitude of Sin. And that is practice a life of transparency. What does this mean? James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and be healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, what Satan keeps hidden, we don't have to face. What Satan keeps hidden and what we have forgotten is darkness. When something is in darkness, God cannot bring it into his life and deal with it and heal it and get rid of it. So Satan likes to hide things. He wants us to take our anger and push it down and hold it inside. Guess what? I've seen several people die of cancer, and it wasn't very pretty because they did that, or because they refused to, you know, deal with that anger. All they wanted to do was talk about this individual hurt me doing this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. And guess what? It eventually caught up with them. And they were Christians, but they died of cancer because they didn't deal with those things in their life. And I don't want that to happen to anybody that is here. What you have to do when you're practicing a life of transparency is cultivate an open relationship with a select individual about your problems, past and present. And then you'll need to be able to pray with that individual and be held accountable to him and her. So what does that mean? Well, when you start remembering these things, then guess what? That individual is going to start praying with you. And that individual is going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what the real root causes were of what you are remembering today, even if it was hidden. And if you're married, you're going to have to start being completely honest with your mate. Completely honest with your mate. God tells us in his word that he wants us to live a life where things are not hidden. Okay, now, when we get married, guess what? We're one flesh with the person we're married to. And God wants us to be completely open and honest with that person. Now, I realize if you've got some deep hidden sins, maybe of adultery, maybe of things that happened before you was a Christian, before you was married, you need to work with a pastor, with your pastor, with a Christian counselor, as to how to put all this in practice. I'm not going to tell you to just go home if you're married and confess everything that's ever happened to your husband and wife. I'm going to tell you to go to your pastor or Christian counselor, and they will guide you in working things through in God's timing. Not yours, in God's timing. And that's the key thing. Step 4 on the outline, with the help of a counselor, your pastor, determine that roots that contributed to the start of the problem. If you go out in your yard and you cut off a limb off of a tree, guess what's going to happen? It's going to grow another limb. I have tried to cut off some trees at ground level, and guess what? They grow right back up. So if you try to cut off these kind of things without knowing what the roots are, they'll just grow right back up, or they'll just spurt out in another direction. So it's essential that you determine what the root causes of these things are. Now, that absolutely requires that you work with a pastor or Christian counselor that uses the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, gift of discernment, and the Spirit of the Lord must be on the individual that is leading you in this journey. That's an absolute requirement. It's not going to work any other way. Your best friend is probably not going to be able to work through most of these things with you. This requires that somebody has spent a lot of time letting God deal in his or her life before you can lead other people in this type of thing. Now, I often have people ask me a question, does this require that I relive everything in my past? And my answer to that is probably not. God will determine exactly what he wants you to deal with. Love covers a multitude of sins, and there are things that you won't have to deal with. But it's God and the Holy Spirit working through your counselor or pastor that determines what needs to be dealt with, not me. The Holy Spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit knows how these things have to be worked through. And God also knows the order that things have to be worked through. There's a process, there's an order for going through things when you start dealing with emotional healing in your life. You can't just do it in the order that you think it should work. That's why I can't give you an order. I can't say, well, you deal with this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin in this order. That ain't going to work. It has to be, the whole process has to be led by the Holy Spirit, because we're different individuals. We came across these things at different times in our lives, at different ways in our lives, through different situations. And so God knows the process and the order that these things need to be dealt with. Now, this counselor will work with you as far as dealing with your situations with the people that sinned against you. You know, that person may be dead, but you can still say, Father God, I forgive that individual. I forgive that individual, and I will no longer hold them responsible for sinning against me. And you know how I'll prove I no longer will hold that against them? Because I'm going to forget it, and I'm not going to continue to remember it. And every time the devil wants to say, remember that time that so-and-so did that? What was that? What did you say, Satan? I don't even know about it anymore. You see, because when the healing process is complete, you won't have to remember. You won't have to continually, go to sleep at night. How many of you have went to sleep at night, and when somebody has bugged you during the day, it goes over and over and over and over and over in your mind? I think everybody here has probably done that. Why does God's word say then, don't let the sun go down on your anger, your wrath, or, you know, don't hold anything against anybody? Well, you think, well, I'll just go to sleep, you know, and forget it and all that. Guess what? You probably won't get much sleep. It'd be a lot easier just to stay up and forgive the person and then get a full night's sleep. The counselor will also guide you in dealing with events in life that have wounded you. There's a lot of things that have happened that have hurt you, that have caused your spirit to be affected. And then there's incorrect imprinting. Just to give you an example of what I'm talking about here, some of you may or may not remember the first time that your parents or a kid at school told you about sex, for example. Okay, now, if it wasn't told to you in a right way, you're going to have a lot of wrong ideas about the concept of sex. The concept of sex, or whatever else it was put into your memory bank, if you will, in an incorrect way. And when things are put into your memory bank in an incorrect way, then they're going to affect you. And so you have to learn how to get at these things and deal with them, and then learn what God says about each and every one of these subjects in your life. Another area that you and your counselor will work through is lack of proper family relationships, especially in the areas of love, sex, and intimacy. All of these things will be worked through in the process. Even, going down to G, events while you were in your mother's womb. You're going to deal with everything that affected you. Generational sin, the whole type of thing. Now, part of the healing process is number 5, to cultivate an effective prayer life. I know so many Christians that don't have an effective prayer life. You're going to have to decide at the beginning of this walk that you're going to cultivate an effective prayer life, whether at first it seems like you're getting results or not. You do it because Paul Stanton on this day said you do it. And because God's word said you do it. And because Jesus Christ set that example. Even if it doesn't feel like anything has happened, there are things, like I told you earlier, there's things you're going to have to do, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not. And if you don't do these things, I can tell you it's going to take a long time for you to be successful. I'm going to skip the next couple of items on there. They're pretty self-explanatory. But I'm going to tell you also that you need to confess God's truth, the last item on 5, you need to confess God's truth in specific areas of your life where there are weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We're all human beings. And so guess what? How do we overcome these things? Do we overcome them by talking about them to our friends? Do we overcome them by criticizing other people? By avoiding them? No. We overcome them by teaching, by speaking God's word. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's how we overcome it. Number 6, and this is very, very important, actively seek a complete restructuring of your thought life. That's a big one. guess what? You're going to have to ask your pastor or your Christian counselor to hold you accountable for that. And there's going to come times when that person's going to say, hey, don't say that. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to go off muttering under your breath, you know? Or are you going to say, okay, I've chosen to do this. I know this is the way God wants me to walk, and I'm going to do it. I made a quality decision to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to restructure my thought life, and I'm going to restructure everything that comes out of my mouth. Now, the other thing, and I won't dwell on it a long time because we all know about it, but it's an important part of this. You have to conduct spiritual warfare. Guess what? Does the enemy want to know, have it known, what we've been teaching tonight? I think not. No way, no how. In fact, I could tell it when I was coming here because of the oppression. I could tell it during our prayer time here. I could tell it during our praise and worship until we broke through. The enemy did not want these truths to be known. And guess what we have to do about it? We have to conduct spiritual warfare. And I won't go into all of the specifics there. You can read them. But it's something that has to be done. It's to conduct a spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on this tonight, but this type of healing may also require deliverance, which your counselor or your pastor will be able to minister to you. Not your friend, not in a ministry up here at the altar, but it's something that may be required. You may get required deliverance for things that you have picked up in the process of living your life. We're just about done. Item number 8, enter into a walk of continual sanctification and obedience. Brothers and sisters, once you have the healing that God intends for you to have, you need to commit your life completely to Him. Commit daily to dealing with all offenses. Just like what I preached a couple of weeks ago, Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down when you're still angry. That means every day, whether you feel like it or not, you're going to have to deal with anything that comes into your life. If you don't deal with it, guess what happens? It takes longer to get your healing, a lot longer to get your healing. If you choose to deal with everything that comes into your life on a daily basis, keep the slate clean every day, then the whole process will go much faster. Another thing that is an important part of this healing process is you need to make a quality decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Now that is different than salvation. Much different than salvation. You can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I did that when I became a Christian. But you have to come into the place where you're willing to accept Him as the number one person, the person that is going to guide and direct your life completely. No holds barred. Because if you only do this partly, then you're only going to get part of the healing God has for you. Jesus Christ needs to become Lord of your life. Unfortunately, I've also got a whole sermon on that. But anyway, I'm not going to be like Paul and preach all night. Let no corrupt communication come out of your life, out of your mouth. That is the most important thing to do in this process. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. That's from the NIV. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth. Now, guess what? We would have a whole lot less problems in our church, in our relationship with every other individual, if we practice that. And if we can't practice it, then we go right back to the beginning and say, well, God, why can't I do this? If I can't do this, then there's got to be a reason. I'm going to discuss it with my pastor or counselor, and we're going to find out so I can do this. Because God's Word gives us a lot of direction for our lives. But He also will give us a point of beginning in order to get cleansed so that we can move into all that He has for us. The last thing under this item is make a decision to never give up or give in. I see so many people in the church and the world today that can't make a commitment to anything. And we have to make a decision that this healing is for us, and we're not going to give in, we're not going to give up until this healing process is done. So where do we go from here, brothers and sisters? Well, I've given you a lot of information. I've given you a lot of food for thought. You can start the process tonight after we do the activations, and we'll have a time for personal ministry. You can start the process, but just be aware that you'll want to spend time and develop a close relationship with your pastor or Christian counselor so that you can completely walk that out in your life. It's not going to be a one-time thing. It's going to be a thing that you'll have to develop that relationship with your pastor, spend time with him so that you can walk these kind of things out in your life. And I'll tell you what, I know you can do it because I was able to do it. I was able to walk it out. And if you, you know, doubt that, come and see me. I'd be happy to share with you anytime. Each and every person can walk out in their life everything God has.